raised about as poor as a man could be. He was born in a mud house in the state of North Dakota in the USA. He never owned a home. He never attended high school. For 70 years, Oscar Stoller worked as a farmer on his family's land. He struggled to pay his kids' school fees and to pay his bills. Life was not easy for Oscar and his wife, Lorene. But then one day in the year 2008, something happened that would change the course of his fortune. Some representatives of an oil company came to his home and told him that geological surveys indicated that there was oil underground on his land. The oil company asked him if they could drill a test well, and when they did, they discovered oil. They drilled other wells and found more oil. Well, suddenly, everything changed. The oil company paid Oscar huge sums of money for the oil on his land. And for the first time in his life, Oscar didn't need to work or worry about money at all. He and Lorene bought their first house and began to enjoy their newfound wealth. Overnight, Oscar Stoller became a millionaire. But in reality, Oscar had been a wealthy man all along. He just didn't know it. When he inherited the land from his father, he had inherited all the mineral rights to the oil that lay underground. The oil had been his all along. For 70 years, he'd been sitting on top of vast wealth. He just had not tapped into it. He'd been living in poverty when all the time he was rich. He just needed to learn how to tap into the source of his provision. There's an amazing truth for all of us here this morning. It's a truth that affects millions of Christians around the world today. You see, just like Oscar Stoller, there are many of us in the church today who've never claimed the provision that is rightfully ours. We're sitting on a vast opportunity, but we fail to tap into the source of our provision. Millions of Christians run around worrying about money, chasing money, praying and fasting for wealth, looking for our breakthrough, struggling to get rich, but we don't realize that we possess the greatest promise of provision in the world, the promise of God's provision. What is the source of your supply? How can you and I tap into the opportunities God has made available to us? The secrets lie in one powerful verse of Scripture that we're going to study today. It contains the premise, the promise, and the provision for all of God's people. That's the secret we're going to learn in our message titled, God's Promise for Your Provision. But before we go further, let's bow our heads and pray together. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you for this great opportunity to be in your house today, to worship in your presence, to rest in your love, and to understand the mighty power of your promise for our provision. Without your Spirit, we cannot understand the things that you want to speak to us. So we ask you today to descend upon us and fill our hearts and minds, enlighten us and illuminate to us the truth that we might know and understand what you've desired for us, what you promise for us, and how we can tap into that unlimited source. We submit to you today and we bind every spirit of the enemy that would come against us in the name of Jesus. I command every spirit that would deceive or disturb or distract us to be silent in the name of Jesus. And I loose the power of the Holy Spirit to descend upon us, to strengthen us, and to illuminate our hearts, that your name will be glorified while we are transformed. We thank you and we bless you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I want to invite you to pray with me. Just take a moment, put your hand on your chest and say after me, Lord Jesus, speak to my heart. Change my life. Manifest your glory in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Agape House New Testament Church. We're in our second week of a sermon series entitled The Prosperity Ladder. And I believe God is doing something awesome in our midst as we discover truth from God's Word about our finances. Now, here's the fact. Each week, the sermons build on one another. After all, it's called The Prosperity Ladder. You have to climb them rung by rung. Last week's message was foundational when I preached on the value of money. You may be surprised to hear this, but in actual fact, God has a lot to say about money. In fact, there are 2,300 Bible verses that talk about money and possessions. That's twice as many verses as deal with faith and prayer combined. In fact, 15% of everything Jesus said was about money and possessions. Surprisingly, Jesus talked more about those subjects than he did about heaven and hell combined. Why is that? Because how we handle money reveals a lot about our spiritual life. You see, the truth is there's a fundamental connection between a person's spiritual life and their actions concerning money and possessions. The two go hand in hand. Money is that important. And I want you to know this morning, God understands how important money is. He knows that you need it. He knows that you're struggling to get it. He sees your work and your labor. He knows that it's important to you, that you're worrying about it, that you're sweating over it, that you're dreaming about it. And because he loves us, he has given us a promise that will help bring peace to our financial troubles. It's a promise that can take away your worries and your strife and your struggle. It's a promise that can bring peace to your heart and end your money worries forever. It's a promise that your problems will be over, and a promise we can rest upon that we will never lack sufficient finance to meet our needs. Now, to help us discover the truth of that promise, we've printed sermon notes. They look like this. They're inside your bulletin, and I invite you to take them out right now and follow along with me as we discover the three truths about God's promise for your provision. And there at the top of your notes, you'll find the promise we're going to be looking at today. It's found in Philippians chapter 4, 19. It's in your notes. It's on the screen behind me, but I believe the Word of God has the most impact when it's in your lips and in your heart. So we're going to read it out loud together. Are you ready? Some of our second service people are still in bed sleeping, so let's wake them up by reading out loud. Here we go. Ready? Go. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, friends, this is an amazing promise. Tell your neighbors an amazing promise. It's full of impact in our lives because God has simply promised to take care of us. In these powerful words, he's promised to meet all your needs. And if you truly believe that today, you would never worry about money again. You would never be troubled. You wouldn't fight over it. You wouldn't struggle for it. You wouldn't spend sleepless nights wondering how to get it. You wouldn't be tempted to cheat or steal or lie because you would rest in the promise of his provision. But the fact is, when you look around at us and at many churches today, you'll find that the opposite is true. Even though God's made this amazing promise to us, there are still so many of his children who have failed to receive the benefits of this promise. Like Oscar Stoller, we're sitting on top of a great and a vast opportunity, but we can't seem to make ends meet. And there are so many of us, even in the church, that seem to not have the benefit of this promise at all. So what is wrong? How can you and I tap into the source of our provision and have our needs met according to God's promises? Well, the first truth we need to understand to get God's promises active in our life is that we have to understand the premise. So just take your pen and fill in the blank with the word premise. Now, premise sounds a lot like promise, but these are two different words with two different meanings. And before you get to the promise, you have to get to the premise, P-R-E-M-I-S-C. What is a premise? Simply put, the dictionary defines the premise as a precondition for receiving something. A premise is the thing the promise is based upon. And the first thing you need to know today is God's promise has a premise. God's promise for your provision has a condition. There are conditions attached to the promise of God's provision. God says, if you, then I. Some people haven't understood this, and they go through the Bible looking for any promise they find, and they begin to claim promises by faith when actually they fail to realize there are premises or preconditions for the promise. Reminds me of the young man who was praying and seeking God for guidance and direction. He decided to go to the Word of God and ask the Lord to speak to him. But he didn't understand the truth about the premise. So he just wanted to find any promise he could. He decided to pray, throw open his Bible, and put his finger on the page. And wherever his finger landed, he was going to claim that as his promise. So he prayed, God, speak to me. He threw open his Bible, he put his finger down, and he read the verse, and it said, Judas went and hung himself. He said, I rebuke you, Satan. That's not right. Let me try again. Lord, speak to me. He threw open the Bible, put his finger down. It said, go and do likewise. Hey! I rebuke you, Satan. He said, let me try it again. Third time's the charm. He threw open his Bible and said, God, speak to me. He put his finger down and said, and whatever you do, do it quickly. You can't just grab any promise you see in the Bible and claim it for yourself unless you ask yourself first, what is the condition I must meet to receive this promise? So let's ask ourselves this morning, the promise of God's provision is there in verse 19 of Philippians 4, but what are the premises? What is the precondition? And if you back up a few verses in Philippians 4, you come to this passage in verses 15 and 16. Now you Philippians know also that no church shared, everybody say shared. No church shared with me concerning giving, everybody say giving, and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. So just take your pen and underline the words shared, giving, and sent aid once and again. And understand this morning that Paul gave the Philippian Christians this promise of God's provision because they were generous, giving people. The premise for the promise is giving. The Philippians got the promise of God supplying all their needs in Christ Jesus because they gave generously and sacrificially. So here's the first truth you need to remember today. The promise of God's provision is not made to everybody. The promise of God's provision is not even made to all Christians. This is a promise to people who give generously and sacrificially. And the truth still holds today. The promise for your provision is based on the premise of your giving. Now, I know that that fact doesn't make sense to the natural mind. We think, how can I gain more by giving away what we have? But the Bible says God's ways are not man's ways. For Isaiah 55, 8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And the fact is, when you begin to look critically at Scripture, you'll find that the premise of the promise is repeated throughout Scripture. For example, in Proverbs 11:25, the Bible says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And Jesus himself told us the promise of receiving is based on the premise of giving in Luke chapter 6:38. Listen to his words. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So simply put, God is telling us that unless you obey him in the matter of giving, he doesn't guarantee to meet your needs. God is not obligated to meet the needs of your life if you're not obeying what he's told you to do. God says you can short circuit the power and promise in your life and block the flow of blessing when you become stingy. And this is the problem for many of us today. We claim the promise of Philippians 4:19. I claim it in the name of Jesus by faith. My God shall supply. But we haven't met the condition of verse 15 and 16. We go around quoting Philippians 4:19, but we do not qualify according to the premise. I've told you before about my friend Kofi, but let me remind you about him. Kofi was the kind of guy who never did anything for anybody. He was in the habit of waiting for others to buy him palm wine, yet he never bought any for himself. Every morning, Kofi could be found in the Palm Wine Bar waiting for a customer to offer him some to drink. In fact, it was well known that Kofi never gave anything to anybody and that it was rather his wife who was supporting him by going to work on the farm. Well, one day, after Kofi had been in the Palm Wine Bar, he was a little bit drunk and he was walking home alongside the river when he slipped and fell into the water. "Help me! Help me!" Kofi started to cry. "I'm drowning! I'm drowning!" Quickly, some men who were standing nearby gathered around and tried to pull Kofi out of the river. "Kofi, give me your hand!" the man closest to him shouted, but it was no use. Kofi appeared not to hear him at all. God was so kind. Suddenly, Kofi's wife appeared, and she saw what was happening. "Don't you know my husband's character at all?" she said. "Hey, if you say, 'Kofi, give me your hand,' he will never hear you at all. Here, let me show you what to do." Then Kofi's wife went over close to him and said, "Kofi, take my hand." And immediately, Kofi reached up and took her hand. Hallelujah. Many of us don't hear the word give at all. We only hear the word take. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. And we wonder why God doesn't meet our needs. We think that in taking we will have our provision. But God says your provision is not in the taking, but in the giving. In fact, not only is the premise for your promise in giving, it's also a fact that how you give determines how God provides. Listen to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. Remember this. Tell your neighbor, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, God is clearly telling us that the measure of our giving will determine the measure of our receiving. How we sow will determine how we reap. This is a law of God. It's a principle that cannot be changed or broken. If you follow the law, you will walk in His provision. If you don't, you won't. Imagine a man who walks into the bank on Lagos Avenue and says to the cashier, "I'd like to get some money and go." She said, "Oh, fine. Just tell me your account number and show me your identification." "Account number?" the man says, "I don't have an account number. I just want to take some money and go." "Well, do you want to apply for a loan?" the cashier said. "Loan? No, I just want to take some money. I heard that banks are where you go to get money, so I came here to get money. This is a bank. I want to take money and go." The woman said, "You must be mad. You don't have an account. You don't want a loan. You just want to take money. You can't take anything unless you put something in." It's ridiculous to walk into a bank and expect to take out money when you never went and deposited money in the first place. You can't withdraw money from a bank if you never put money in. And it's the same with God. Many Christians come to Him to seek His provision, but they don't even have an account in heaven. Others have an account, but they don't put anything in. And what you get out is determining what you put in. As you sow, you'll reap. It's talking about giving. I didn't write it. God did. Friends, our sermon series is called The Prosperity Ladder, not The Prosperity Lift. Prosperity is not a lift you ride. It's a ladder you climb. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. If you want to go to the next level in your finance, you have to give. The premise comes before the promise. The premise works in your life because the promise works. And the good news for all of us today is that this promise works whether you're rich or poor, young or old, black or white. It doesn't matter whether you're an American, a Chinese, an Indian, or a Ghanaian. The promise of God is available to all if we meet the premise. Some of you are driving Mercedes-Benz. Others of you are using Legity-Benz. But the premise and the promise work together no matter who you are, because God works with His word according to principles. And giving works for everyone because of the promise. So turn your notes over and see our second truth today, and that is this. You've got to understand the promise. Just take your pen, fill in the blank with the word promise, and let's remember our scripture text, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need. In this passage, we find a promise. God says he would meet your needs. Not some of your needs, not a few of your needs, not even most of your needs. He said, I'm going to supply all, A-L-L, all your needs. You can count on him. He will supply. God says, I will move heaven and earth to meet your needs. I will use all the resources of my eternal kingdom to work on your behalf, to arrange situations, to move on people, even against their will, to come and supply for you. For God's promise will work for everyone who meets God's premise. Listen to another promise in 2 Corinthians 9, 10 and 11. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And I can stand boldly before you today and declare that God has said he will. There is no question. There is no doubt. He will supply seed to the sower. And if you're sowing generously into the kingdom of God and into the lives of other people today, if you're giving generously to God in his work, he says, I stand by my word. I will supply. I'm going to supply. But not only supply, he says, I'm going to increase. When you put out seed, you're going to gain a harvest, but then I'm going to give you more seed. I'm going to give you more supply that you can give again, and I'm going to enlarge you and enlarge your harvest. I'm going to meet your need and bless you beyond your imagination. So I speak to every giver in Agape House today, and I declare to you that God is going to supply you with greater seed. God is going to increase your financial ability. He's going to enlarge you as you give. I speak to every tithe paying member of Agape House, and I declare that the heavens are opened and God is pouring out a blessing upon you that is so great you won't even be able to contain it. If you will take what he's placed in your hand and sow it by faith into his kingdom, he's going to replenish your seed and restore what you've given. You will not run out of seed. Your capital will not get finished. Your bank account will not run dry. Your harvest will surely come. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. For God is faithful to his word. That's why David could say in Psalm 37, 25 and 26, I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. And you can look anywhere, at any time, in any generation, you will never find a righteous man who pays his tithe faithfully and gives generously who lacked or whose children went hungry. Because God stands by his word. I've been serving the Lord Jesus Christ for more than 40 years. And by his grace, I am very careful to tithe every pesewa that I owe to God. And I give generously. And I've made it my habit and the habit of my wife and my family that we tithe every increase in our lives. And God has blessed me. And I can stand and tell you that though I am not someone that normally would have been rich, I can tell you today that God has met every need in my life. He's met every need in our ministry. There were times we needed $100,000 to finish buying a property, and God supernaturally and miraculously supplied. There's times we were stranded somewhere and needed the money for an air ticket, and God has supernaturally supplied. In big ways, in small ways, the testimonies I can give of God's provision would take us until tomorrow, because God has stood by his word and blessed me as I met the conditions of his promise. But it's not just in the big ways, not just in those ways we might consider important, but I've discovered that God has also come in the small ways, in the ways that didn't seem important to anyone else but were important to me. One of the greatest times of God's provision, one of the most miraculous provision experiences I've had, happened to my wife and I when we were newly married missionaries in Nigeria. We'd just been married for a few years. We'd been in Nigeria for about a year. And our firstborn daughter, LaDonna, was having her first birthday. And because she was our only child and it was her first birthday, we wanted to celebrate. So we invited friends and we planned and prepared a party. We got a few things ready. We waited for the day to come when we would finish our preparation. But suddenly that week, everything began to go wrong. Our car broke down and we had to spend money we didn't expect to repair it. There were unexpected bills and other people had needs. And before I knew what happened, all the money we had got finished. And I remember sitting in my flat with my wife the night before my daughter's first birthday. We'd invited people to come to the house and celebrate with us. And we had nothing in the house. I don't know about you, but those days I wasn't too, you know, I didn't have a lot of money. I was a poor missionary. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but honestly speaking, I went to my wardrobe and I began searching the pockets of my trouser, my shirt. You've done it too, huh? Some of you did that this morning. God bless you. Yeah. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm sure I left some 5 naira here, 5 naira there. I found one coin. I said one coin. Equal to 20 pesewa. Hey! I said, oh my God. No money in the bank. No friends, no family to go and ask help. Nowhere to turn. There we were, 9 o'clock at night, the day before the party. And I said, oh God, you are disgracing me today. We would drink tap water. Hey. On my daughter's first birthday, we would drink ordinary tap water. Hey. When suddenly, there was a knock on the door. I said, who is that? 9 o'clock at night in Nigeria, you're going to be afraid, oh. Sorry if you're a Nigerian, it's okay. I'm one of you, don't worry. You are here with us, we're safe now. I said, who is knocking my door 9 o'clock at night in Nigeria? Hey. I went and opened the door. There was a man there I've never seen before. He's a strange man. I said, yes, can I help you? He said, yes, I've come from Warri. That's a town about 1 hour drive, 9 o'clock at night. He said, I've come from Warri. I'm from Iberia Airlines. That's the Spanish airline. I said, yes. 6 months before, my wife and I had gone to U.S. on Iberia Airlines. We bought a ticket, and we come back. We used that airline. I said, what can I do for you? He said, please, I want to come in and discuss with you. I led him into the parlor. I couldn't believe my ears. The man sat down in the parlor and said, sir, when you bought your ticket 6 months ago, we accidentally overcharged you. You paid $290 more than you're supposed to. And I drove myself in my own vehicle from Warri 1 hour away in my own car, 9 o'clock at night, to come and return the money to you. This was money I didn't know about. Now, come on, give the Lord a round of applause. Wait. I didn't know they owed me money. They didn't call me. They didn't write a letter, please come and collect your check. They could have kept the money. The man himself could have chopped the money. I wouldn't know. Hello. I didn't know they owed me. Why that night he drove himself 1 hour to come and return $290 to me in Nigeria? Oh, hey! There's a God in heaven.
Experience deep worship. Hear life-changing sermons by Pastor Whitcomb.
The Bible says all the people saw it and they lifted their hands and says, Jehovah, He's the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord.
Enjoy a truly friendly experience. Join us at Agape House in East Legon every weekend. A warm welcome awaits you. Agape House New Testament Church, Agape Land, East Legon. Saturday night church from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. First Sunday service from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Second Sunday service, 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m.
Join us next week, at this time, on this station, for another episode of Revelation. With Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb. Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb was brought to you by Revelation Media Ministry.